Broadcasted live. Catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.
Many of you would be well aware that I was away the last few weeks. I say few weeks, but it's really been 2.5 months out in the US as part of a fellowship that I was participating in with the World Press Institute. So an opportunity to immerse ourselves into the media landscape, the culture, the economy, and the politics of the US. And one of the key themes that all of us have witnessed, whether I was on the ground or even if you monitor the news headlines from the US, is that many Americans voted for Trump because of their concerns around the economy. The cost of living is what everybody has been frustrated by. And we here at home have also been frustrated by the same thing, whether it's the price of bread, of fuel, or even vegetables that we rely on as a basic item for our groceries. Well, we've got some good news. Inflation came out today. The data indicates that the CPI, consumer price inflation, only rose by 2.8% in the month of October. That's good news, but we still do see that food remains incredibly expensive for us as South Africans. Someone who might know why is Thabile Nkunjana, agricultural economist, to give us more details. Thabile, welcome to the show.
Good evening to you, Google, and the listeners at home. Thanks for having me.
Always exciting to speak to you, Thabile. First things first, 2.8% for CPI. Surely this is not just good, but great news.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Google, because, I mean, given the fact that for the past few months, except September and August, you know, the CPI has been kind of a little bit. And this, of course, is because it has been because of the issues around, you know, the uncertainty around the issues of food that you talked about, coming from the drought that you experienced last summer. And, of course, prior that, there were elections that we are going to, which we are now talking about the GNU. So there were a lot of uncertainties around then. But it looks like things are getting better, which is why we are seeing that 2.8, you know, in terms of the percentages of October, which is good news. Mm-hmm. I would say it's good news overall, as much as there are certain products that are kind of, you know, still because of certain, you know, market dynamics. But at the broader scale, things are looking much better than we anticipated as of the issues that I just mentioned earlier.
Let's talk about those dynamics, because for the average South African, we might tell them that inflation has only increased by 2.8%. But the truth is, when we open up our pantries, our cupboards, hey, potatoes are expensive. Onions, at some point, other vegetables were expensive. So help us contextualize why. Why are we still finding vegetables are expensive?
So first of all, let me just talk about first the potato issue. That one, it's been a nightmare. I remember my colleagues and some folks were talking about it not so long ago, I think a few hours ago. The reason besides around the issue of potatoes, it has been coming since the Black Frost thing that we have experienced around July from our key producing region, which is Limpopo. So we had an issue around that, and therefore the supply part of things was always going to be impacted. And as a result, the prices are reflecting, you know, that shock that resulted to the little bit of production issues there. But overall, the vegetables, I would say, we have seen an improvement in the supply. And also, this is mainly because of several issues, because of the improved weather in here and there. And of course, maybe the part of some actual products, particularly the vegetables, not being exported to some of the key markets in our neighboring countries as much as we used to do. So that, of course, it has something to do with the prices sort of being suppressed a little bit. But other than that, I think even if I look, for instance, into issues like rice, things are kind of getting better since India has lifted its ban since last year, July. So things and some other products are looking quite good. But of course, it's not always going to be the case where they're going to find some products are kind of increasing because of the issues I just mentioned. For instance, the issue that impacted the prices for potatoes.
I'm so intrigued that you mentioned this, because as you mentioned, there are different dynamics that influence this. Not only is it, I guess, climate change and weather conditions, how it is that we're able to harvest, but also concerns that have been raised by the Competition Commission previously around pricing at different levels of the supply chain. Is that still a concern that needs to be viewed and thoroughly investigated?
I mean, there was in the inquiry that was circulated some time ago, and then the results came through, and the Competition Commission, as and a body that is entitled to, to look at things when, a price is kind of not suspicious for some reason, one way to another. It happens all the time. Even other countries, they do have a body like, Competition Commission. So once we have situations like the spikes in food that we have seen, I think if you are to recall also around since the COVID-19, we have quite a number of inquiries around competition. The other time it was ginger and garlic.
Yes.
And then of course, then there was another inquiry. It was like, it looks like something is not on. And of course, the Competition Commission is a body that is, given that, mandate. It has to do sort of digging. And of course, and sometimes, there's not really much, but because there's a lot that goes to the production of these things, the imports, mainly for producers. For instance, if you had to look at the fertilizer amount that the colleagues or the farmers uses to produce potatoes, is quite a lot. And of course, the issues of diesel, look at the prices for petrol. All of us, the driving cars, are complaining about this. So those are some of the issues that, will always be associated around this, which is why Competition Commission, from time to time, they have to come in and intervene and maybe look into what is really going on.
And this might be an unfair question, but I can imagine it's part of the dinner table debates you're having in the boardroom, maybe even amongst your circle of friends as well, who are also economists. But the risk of inflation increasing, and I ask this based on the anxiety that exists around return of a Trump presidency in the US come January, that the policies he might put in place. I sound like doom and gloom, right? Like, oh, woe is us, but that's not the case.
We have all the rights to be, Africans in general, they have all the rights to be skeptical a little bit around this. I remember in 2018 when current President Trump now made some statements around, some African countries, being somewhere that I cannot mention on the line, but there's a reasonable, fear that, should be, some there. But I think if one has been following in terms of the developments from the politics coming to the manifestos and also them, the debates that the presidents in US, the candidates, that it was Harris and Trump, there wasn't much in terms of what he or she was going to do around Africa. And therefore, the main issue was what you mentioned yourself as well, that it looks like Americans are having so much issue, and Trump, most of the time, was focusing on what he wants to do to stabilize the economy in US and all that. But of course, the issues around, investment and general, how the global economy is going to react to all this, it's only a matter of time, to see, because I remember we are working in a global scale where everything that happens, especially for a country of a scale like US, it tends to affect, things that are happening in developing countries like South Africa and many that are in Asia and South America. So there is a reasonable, amount of skepticism that is going to be there. But I think let's just wait and see. Of course, even the AGOA thing that South Africa benefits from, as far as what is concerned, is coming to an end next year. But we are hoping that things are going to be settled. And of course, with his administration, Trump will be able to extend it for another couple of years, or at least large at this time around, and South Africa will continue to benefit from that, irrespective of the political differences, which I'm not going to be able to talk about because I'm not a political analyst.
No, we don't mind avoiding the politics sometimes, but it's necessary. But for tonight, what I'm also keen to ask about, Thabile, which you touched on, is AGOA, right? Yeah. It's one of the big issues when anyone talks about Africa's relationship to the US and what that means to a new presidential administration. AGOA comes up. And I'm keen to understand your thoughts. What could the likely outcomes be? I know this is speculating, but essentially, how critical is this specifically to our agricultural space? And would there be opportunities for us to find alternate markets?
For South Africa, because South Africa is such a country where its agricultural products are geared towards exports. So a market that we already have, like the US, which we are getting access, duty free to our product, mostly most products get to that market free, we cannot manage to lose it. We cannot afford to lose that, irrespective of small or big. I mean, it has been growing, but of course, if you had to compare it to other main markets of ours, for instance, the likes of the combination of the continent of Africa, the Asian Middle East, and, you know, we cannot or compare that in terms of the size. But when you have to look at the specific products, the specifics are very important in this, because as much as we'll have maybe around, let's say, 9 billion products worth of products being exported to the US,
mm-hmm.
there are some products within that that have a higher concentration, you know, going to, for instance, some products will find that it's around maybe 5% or 6%. But when you look into others, you know, especially the likes of citrus, like now, I saw something like we have quite some products that are going through. So it is important that we remain having an access to that market, irrespective of how we are doing with other markets. So as I was saying, that the key important thing now is to not lose any market, be it it's the US through the AGOA, or is any country that we're having an access to it, be it in Asia, in Middle East, and all that, because South Africa's actual production is increasing. The president and the minister are pushing for greater production. We are seeing a number of few small emerging farmers getting to the market wanting to export products. So therefore, on the basis of that fact, we must be able to keep that market and hope that things don't get solved for whatever reason, be it economically or politically and otherwise.
Oh, definitely. Thabile, I'm so glad you've elaborated on this, you know, so extensively for us to understand, you know, the kind of conversations that take place between different countries, what's happening within the industry, and even the reality of what we feel being the very expensive fruits and vegetables that we have to pay for at the end of the day at the tills. I'm going to ask you to keep on your economics hat on. And I guess tomorrow is the MPC. And of course, we're hoping that the governor, Lesetša Ganyago, is going to be kind. And by kind, I'm thinking 50 basis points, but I'm told I'm way too optimistic.
Yeah, absolutely. You can, no, I don't think so. That one is, will be, yeah. But I mean, anything, any smaller than anything that will come through, I would personally appreciate it. I mean, everyone is complaining about bonds and all that. So we need to see that decline in those rates. But let's hope for anything can be 25, but not less than 25.
Definitely. Any small anyana interest rate cut. Oh, governor, please hear us out. Thank you so much, Thabile. Such a pleasure speaking to you, sir.
You are Google. Always a pleasure to meet you guys. Thank you.
Thank you. That's Thabile Nkunjana, agricultural economist, joining us tonight to help us unpack the CPI numbers. Why does this matter? Well, CPI is essentially an economic measure and metric to measure the rate at which the cost of goods actually increases by. And what we're learning is that it's slowing down. The 2.8 indicates that prices are not spiking up as significantly or as quickly and as fast as they used to in the last few months, or at least even in comparison to a year ago. That's good news, because we are expecting then to see price stabilization. But as Thabile has mentioned, there are concerns, because when you and I go pick up our potatoes, our onions, our butternut and other vegetables specifically, we do find that we are paying a lot more for these goods. And largely it's on the back of the ripple effects of inflation. If you look at fuel, of course, even some of the concerns around the supply chain of getting your vegetables to your basket, your door, even the deliveries that take place. These are aspects that actually speak to why it is that some fruits and vegetables still remain quite expensive. Oh, it's a lot, but very important for us to digest, because it impacts our pockets at the end of the day. Give us your thoughts and your themes. Maybe let's hear from you tonight if you're hoping that we get an interest rate cut from the governor, Lesetša Ganyago. It seems as though we are well positioned, but what are you expecting? 0.5%, 50 basis points, or 25 basis points? But are you feeling strain as a South African? Are you still feeling frustrated by the pressure on your pocket? Bear in mind, Black Friday, the festive season, and back to school are just weeks away. So are your pockets prepared? Nijimile? Ni amile? Mubedi? No? Oh, guys, we should have saved. You should have told me to come with dollars.
If you missed it live, catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.